Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter, where our Lord instructs us, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. But out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Imagine three people sitting in a church pew on a Sunday morning. 14-year-old girl takes some of her babysitting money and puts $5 in the collection plate and prays in her head, "Lord, thank you for being so kind to me. For Jesus' sake, please accept this gift as my gratitude." The man next to her puts in a $20 bill in the plate, and he thinks to himself, "It's hard for me to give this up. I sure have a lot better things to do with my money, but I guess I better do it so people think I fit in here." The third woman down the row puts in $100 in the collection plate, and she thinks to herself, "I sure hope people take note of this and see how generous I am toward this church. If it weren't for this church, or for me, this church may not be in operation. And I sure hope God notices what I'm giving so he rewards me." People can virtually do the same thing, but even though it might look similar on the outside, what's going on in their heart could be completely different. The motivation of why they're doing the action actually matters, certainly to God, even though we can't see it ourselves. Dr. Norman Madsen said it this way: "The fact that I may do a thing which to the eyes of men appears good does not prove that it is good. It all depends on what prompted me to do it." And what Jesus is addressing for us in our text today is this very point. The source of our motivation, what's going on in our heart, is what matters most to God. Remember that great line of the prophet Samuel to David: "Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." From God's perspective of things, when it comes to our spiritual lives, that's what he's paying attention to. That's what he's watching. What is the engine inside of you that is motivating you to do or to say whatever it is? Is it self-interest? Or is it in the interest of others or in praise to God? What comes out of a person's heart, through their mouth, through their hands, through their actions, through their attitudes, is all an indication to God of what's going on inside of the heart. In our kitchen, on the counter, we have a nice bowl of fruit, and my wife purchased it not too long ago. And I remember when I first saw it, I thought, "Oh, those apples look so good." But they're fake. They're artificial. They're about the nicest fake apples I've ever seen. And we've had a number of people be fooled by them. It took me about a month to realize they weren't real. The works that can be done by people, the fruits that are shown in their life, can sometimes appear really good to everyone. And yet from God's perspective, he recognizes those that are genuine and truly done from a heart of faith and those which are not. Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, even atheists can do really nice things. We can have some very nice unbelieving neighbors that may be nicer to us sometimes than our Christian neighbors. And all of those actions can appear so nice and so wonderful on the surface. But from God's perspective, what matters most is what's going on inside of a person's heart. You see, in the eyes of God, the heart has to be changed to a heart of faith before any work that is done can be seen as genuine and good and approvable in God's eyes. Now that kind of baffles us, but listen to what the Bible says. The book of Hebrews: "Without faith in Christ, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That means all the other stuff that's done in the world, wonderful things that we may appreciate. But listen, without faith in Christ, it is impossible to please God. Jesus used the imagery of a vine and branches. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, that means trusts in me. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But then he adds, apart from me, you can do nothing. In the eyes of God, any good and wonderful thing that is done toward humanity, that if it's not done from a heart of faith in Christ, God says it is worthless and it is nothing. Jesus uses this imagery of plants in our text. It's impossible for a tree to bear fruit that itself is not part of its nature and constitution. Jesus even uses a little bit of humor. You don't go to a bush that's full of branches and prickly spurs to try to get some good fruit off of it. Let's shift for a moment our thinking to think of this in a slightly different way. I remember when I was in the residence halls here at Bethany that a room that was lived in by a couple of very messy guys. A few years later, I would happen to come and see that room now with new occupants in it, and I couldn't believe how nice that same room could look, how neat and meticulous everything could be. Who was living in the room had a dramatic impact on what it looked like and what was going on in that room, the interior. And so it is with a person's heart. When the Holy Spirit moves in and occupies a person's heart and gives them faith in Christ, putting their trust in Jesus alone to get to heaven, and appreciation for God's mercy and compassion in Jesus, when the Holy Spirit moves into a person's heart, it changes things. It changes how the person talks, how the person looks at other people, the attitude that they should have toward other people. Great example from the Bible is the story of Zacchaeus, that little man that hid up in the tree to try and see Jesus. And Jesus asked to be invited to his house, and while he was there, told him about the wonderful plan of going to heaven, free salvation because of God's grace toward this man, even though he'd been a crook and had ripped people off. Without even asking, without Jesus even saying a word to him, this man's heart is now changed. The Holy Spirit has now moved into that room of his heart and has now produced the fruit of generosity and charity even toward the very people from whom he had stolen. The true fruits of faith that get produced inside of the heart of a Christian are done because of the activity of God, not because of us. It's the activity of God working inside of our hearts. And a heart that is holding on to Jesus alone for the hope of getting to heaven is just naturally going to give expression to that same mercy and grace of God. Somebody put it this way: the vertical goodness or righteousness that God gives us for Jesus' sake, he just pours it down on us, the holy perfect record we need to get to heaven. That vertical righteousness, once it works in our hearts, produces a horizontal righteousness as to how we treat other people in our lives. When a mom or dad has brought up a little child to know their compassion and their tenderness and their mercy and their generosity and charity toward that little child, and maybe the child has observed them being that way toward other people too, it makes the mom and dad so happy and excited to see their children acting like that toward other children, let's say. Now, they could maybe force their child to go do that. Here's a candy bar. You make sure to go give half of it to your friend. But they would much rather see it just come naturally out of their child. It means so much more to them. God, our Heavenly Father, has made you and me the benefits of His mercy. He didn't have to give you heaven. You know, just like I do in our life, we don't deserve that. Just think what our lives can be like, what our hearts and minds can be like, and the sin that's in us. God didn't have to give us heaven. But because of the work of His Son on our behalf, He chose to. He chose to be merciful and compassionate toward each one of us so that you can be sure you're going to heaven someday. And that same love and charity that God has shown you, He loves to look at His children in this world and to see them being that way toward other people as well. Not because He forces us, Not because he threatens us into being that way. Not at all. Because we've benefited from it. Because we just naturally now know what this is like because of his great mercy toward us in Christ. And in the eyes of God, these acts of charity and kindness are magnified in heaven. The earth, maybe the people on earth maybe don't even notice them sometimes. People sometimes don't even know that you did something. But in the eyes of God, these are enormous. Think about the attention that our Lord Jesus paid to the widow and her mite. Those tiny, stupid little coins that she put in that alms box outside of the temple in Jerusalem. And yet, Jesus praises her. He magnifies this in heaven. He makes sure that the Holy Spirit puts this story in Scripture for the rest of time so that the whole Christian church could come to realize how wonderful these things are in the eyes of our gracious God. And so may we say about our Lord Jesus that he has purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Why? In order that I might be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. To him alone be the glory. Amen. Please rise for prayer. I ask you to take your hymn book, if you would, and turn in the front of that hymn book to page 159. 159. Prayer or collect number 89. Let's use this together in unison. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, you are merciful and through Christ promised us that you will neither judge nor condemn us, but graciously forgive us all our sins and abundantly provide for all our wants of body and soul. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would establish in our hearts a confident faith in your mercy and teach us also to be merciful to our neighbor, that we may not judge or condemn others, but willingly forgive all, and judging only ourselves, lead blessed lives in your fear. Through your dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace. Amen.